Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Jennifer Juarez. We'll be sitting in for Matt Watson today. Hello, right. Jennifer.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. I got a couple things I need to address before we tell everyone who you are and what you do. So I'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Need to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. And while I'm here, I want to give a shout out to our guys over at Penco LLC. Thanks for the 5-star review. Appreciate you loving the episode about soda. We had a lot of fun with that too. And while we're at it, we're having a lot of fun with the pens you sent. If you guys want to go check out Penco LLC, you can get some really cool pens there. Now, speaking of cool things that you can buy that are also useful, Jennifer, you are the founder and president of Snacks on Racks. Is this true?
That is true. Guilty.
Okay. So, you know, I love it when you are interactive. So go to snacksonracks.com or on the gram. At the number 4 snacks.
Correct. Made it simple.
So with that, I have a whole lot of snacks in front of me right now. I couldn't eat all of these during this episode if I really wanted to.
Well, that's probably good and healthier for you,
too. Yeah. So Snacks on Racks. Now, I'll let you go ahead and tell us what you do, but this is basically, this is a vending business.
Actually, no, we're not vending at all.
What?
Yeah.
Well, then tell me.
All right.
Well, teach me.
Snacks on Racks is a wholesale distributor. We work B2B up thus far, and we provide the service of providing candy trail mix, bulk, and retail packaged options. Really, we've been in the food service niche and moving more and more into the retail space. The other thing that we do really well is private label.
Okay.
So that is a growing, emerging market, growing faster than the manufacturers can produce their own brands. And so those are some of the services we provide, and we provide the product all over the country.
And I'm going to go ahead and while I'm sitting here, take a picture of all these snacks so I can put them on our Instagram page at Startup Hustle Podcast. But I've got trail mix in front of me. I've got chips. Mm-hmm. I got jelly beans, Clif bars, lots of jerky. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this is funny. I got these nuts.
Yes, that's a locally made product.
And I said that out loud. Mm-hmm. And I can get away with it because I really do have a package that says these nuts.
Tried and
true. You could probably have a lot of fun with that. Be careful and make sure you listen to the HR episode we published before you start. Saying that too much. All right. So you've been in business for 18 years. It takes a lot of ups and downs and the good and the bad to get through 18 years. Yes. Give us the backstory of this. Like, how did you get into slinging snacks?
Sure. Well, I said about 20 years ago, my husband and I, we already knew at our young ages, we didn't want to work for the man forever.
Okay, I like
and, it. And so we started looking at, you know, what does Kansas City need? And this business, we actually was an existing company. We watched it for 2 years. They really just worked in the Mr. Bulky space, but in hospitals and locations that were really more 24/7 or had a large.
Let's define Mr. Bulky because okay. I know what that is because I grew up around here. Like Mr. Bulky, you could walk in and just kind of like get scoops of candy and stuff like that. Exactly. Now, is that even a thing? Are they even in business?
Well, no. Mr. Bulky's has been gone for a long time.
Right.
But that's how the business was started or that's what we purchased. And it was under a different name. And so then we brought it in how into our world, updated it because, you know, every business needs to grow and pivot. So with that, then we really started to work closely with large food service companies that were here in the metro. And then they expanded us because of our customer service and abilities to support them. And then we just have grown it from there. So
when you say food service companies, you know, and I want to make sure, because I don't think everyone understands the supply chain here. You have people that actually make the food.
Right. We that's do not make
the food,
anything.
That's not the food service company, though.
No.
Food service companies are anybody that is selling things to whoever's consuming said food. wherever that is. Is that right?
So that would be a great example. So most of us at our larger workplaces, our Fortune 500s, have their own corporate cafeterias. You go to the large venues where you might watch a concert. Those are serviced to the companies that are running the food in those operations. Hospitals certainly have, you know, the cafeteria, but they also have to.
Now with concerts, that's something that, and where maybe you provide utility, because there's clearly not a concert every night at every venue. So is the value you provide by saying, hey, we got a really wide offering of stuff and we can bring it in for a day, or?
Well, and actually at concerts, so most of those are pre-scheduled what they want. So sometimes it's maybe the specialty stuff that's needed for the performing star, because they can want their own items. And then generally it's already what's already on the board there. So if they're offering king size something, or they want branded something, then we've already pretty much know what they're going to need ahead of time. It's not a surprise to us.
So, and it's kind of fun. You mentioned like in concerts and being able to provide for who the performer is. So any performing artist, when they come into town, whether it's through the promoter, the venue, or someone else, they provide what's called a rider. And these are, and if you want to entertain yourself for a few minutes, look up, and it's RIDER, look up like rock star writers or something like that. And some of these people have gotten so funny with life. That's where you get the joke. Like, I want 4 pounds of only blue M&Ms.
Yes. And they do that.
Yeah. And sometimes, and then you know what? And then, but it's funny, cause you'll see your favorite star. You'll learn whether they're a pain in the ass or not. Cause some of them really are.
Yes.
And then some of them are like painfully simple.
Yes.
And I know, and I don't claim to know like the world of rock stars, but I know some people that make a really good living and draw 3,000 to 5,000 people a night. And you're kind of a rock star when you do that.
Yep.
But like my friends in Humphreys McGee are in that category, and they're so simple. They're like, we want like a sandwich plate and a case of Budweiser and cans.
And I'm sure the venue loves them.
No, they do. No, they really do. But that's important though. And then usually there is stuff like what I'm seeing. They usually bring more, but they leave it really general. Mm-hmm. They're like, we would prefer things that are healthy. So is that that kind of request that you'll get, or?
Yes, like I said, it just depends, but generally we have, most of them are not a pain in the neck. Most of them, like I said, just, I want, maybe they have a specific dried fruit that they like or something along those lines. So we'll do things like that, but that's small portions. That's not where most of our time and effort is invested.
So, is that effort instead invested in working the deals and figuring out, like, you're the middleman of sorts. Mm-hmm. So you have to create relationships. Like, there's Jelly Bellies here.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you buy those directly from Jelly Belly or like, okay. So you have to build that relationship.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And you have to keep it.
Sure.
Cause in 18 years, we've watched really the transition. Many big companies have become bigger and bought up the smaller ones.
Sure.
And then you've got, just like changeover or the way their programs have changed.
Yeah.
Some of them are now made it easier to go direct, so everybody can buy from them instead of a few big distributors. So the models, you know, because they're trying to make money, and candy, and I'm really like chocolate, that market hasn't grown a heck of a lot compared to like the snack food, the salties, or the healthy market.
Sure.
So they're really,
but chocolate's still a king though.
It's
still
up there.
Yeah. I just watched a documentary about it.
Plenty of money. Yeah. Don't kid yourself.
No, I just, there's a real, if you, you know, since we're talking about startups and business, Netflix is just a treasure trove of interesting things about commerce, but there's a thing called Rotten. A series, and they talk, the chocolate industry is no good, man. It's like, I mean, the people that actually create the chocolate, like all the way down to the beginning of the supply chain, make like $200 a month.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but part of what they talk about is some of, you talk about these big distributors. So did the big guys buy out the middle people to try to increase their own margins or stuff like that? Was that the mentality there?
They can't, in my education and reading and things, they can't develop new products. Like, you don't see a new Hershey's or a Mars product. The only way they can do that is to buy somebody who's gotten bigger. Like Kellogg's bought RX Bar because that's just not their world, but they know they're going to lose their margin share if they don't bring things in that people are eating now.
Right.
So that's kind of the game we're seeing in food, is those that are innovating and creating products are trying to build a brand. So one of the big guys will come and buy them for multi-millions of dollars, and then they're done. Walk away.
And not to sound like TV Guide on this episode, but there's also a series of historical biopics, we'll say, about the food industry. Mm-hmm. In America. And it was, there was one called The Men, or the whoever that built America, and they've branched that out. They have the cars that build America. They have the food that build America. But it's really interesting because you mentioned Kellogg, Hershey, Mars, mm-hmm. were three, like the like original gangsters. Yep. And I say original gangsters, like on purpose, because they strong armed some people. And Mars basically stole Hershey's everything. Mm-hmm. He worked for Hershey. Mm-hmm. And he ran off in the middle of the night with the formula and some different stuff. And that's when they created the Mars bar and like different stuff. Thanks. But some of this stuff, like you said, you mentioned not having any new products. Mm-hmm. Well, the Hershey bar came out and it was like pre-depression, because when it had almonds in it, mm-hmm. they marketed that as a more complete meal for your money.
There you go.
See? They're like, why do you need
and to today it's for the many people, it's that's lunch, right? A yeah. Coke and a Mars bar.
Well, that was what, because I guess it was like a nickel or something like that. And they marketed it as like a complete meal. They're like, you get all of this protein in this tasty candy bar. But awesome. But during the depression, that people had to get a bang for their buck.
Well, right.
So I was looking at that, and part of the series was talking about how they didn't have regulation then about how you could advertise. So they'd be like a fully complete meal,
right,
for a nickel. Right. And it was literally like a Hershey's with almonds.
Well, and it's interesting because,
which by the way, I think qualifies.
Well, you know, and now that we know how healthy almonds are for you, of course it does.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting that you say that, because we work in food service and most of our product is eaten at lunch or, you know, picked up midday. That idea is still holds true, where, you know, people really want to know what they're eating.
Yeah.
And they only want to pay so much, especially, I'll call it the older generations, and the younger generations now are really just wanting the brand that they want. They don't care what it costs. They just want, this is what I eat. This is how I eat. And that's what's important. So it's interesting, in the 18 years, we've really transitioned from being really a candy centered company to moving more to 80% or more healthy. We've really gotten out of, now a chocolate almond and a yogurt pretzel in many's eyes are still healthy. But when you get to, you know, maybe Swedish fish or gummies, people are like, well, that's got a lot of added sugar. You know, that's not how I'm eating anymore.
I'm going to say that according to my observations, mm-hmm. gummy bears are the world's most complete food, because they represent all the food groups in a bag. Except for the meat group. So
wait, it might have 1 gram of protein. Yeah. Hold on, let's look.
Yeah, that's just the way I look at it. I mean, this is my personal opinion.
And
there's a bag of Jelly Bellies in here, mm-hmm. that could also represent the same.
Sure.
And although this says cocktail classics.
Calories. Yep. So that's getting your cocktail favorites without the alcohol.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So aren't they clever? Yeah, they even have a beer version. So
they have an everything version. Yeah. So, all right. So the food has changed. So I'm 44 years old. And when I was a kid, nut allergies weren't a thing.
Yes.
I mean, maybe they were, but I did not ever hear about a nut allergy. And I do believe that this is somewhat of a new phenomenon, as widespread as it has become, but it's real. So Matt mm-hmm. Watson's kids have nut allergies. Mm-hmm. And like when for my kids, birthday parties or something.
Yep.
We have to be prepared for that.
Yep.
Because like we could legitimately like kill his kid.
Yes.
And it's not like it's real. So, but in front of me, I've got multiple packages. I've mm-hmm. got these nuts mm-hmm. and some trail mix and some other trail mix. Now, how has that changed the way that you have to approach your business? Because that's like a different level of responsibility. Right. 25 years ago, we weren't concerned that a Hershey bar was going to kill me.
Right. Well, and today, so the way the FDA helps us out is we have to make sure that anything that comes in sealed. So if that says it's nut free, we're not opening it. We keep it sealed. Or gluten free is the same thing, because truly, there's the difference between those people that choose to be gluten-free and those that have to be gluten-free. So any of those type of products, our facility is not certified peanut-free or gluten-free.
Okay.
So those types of products we will only purchase from other groups that that way when it comes in, it's
so it did change your approach.
Oh, it
had
sure
to.
Did.
Yeah,
it okay. sure did. And then even so much as how we, because we do have open bulk boxes, and in our clean room area, we actually have a separate rack away from, it's actually categorized by allergen. So all the nuts are on their own display and their own rack. And at the top of the rack are those that just have one type of nut. And then as you go down the rack, because the materials in the air fall, items with more than one type of nut are at the bottom. and then that's daily how we have to go through as we, because for example, if here in Kansas City, hospitals are a big client of ours, and we actually go in and have these bulk setups, much like you see at American grocery stores or Whole Foods, where you're pouring your own portions into a plastic bag and weighing it. So there's area locations here in town that we do that for.
20 years ago, you didn't do that though, did you?
Well, 20 years ago, that's actually how the company started. It was a flip lid with a scoop, and people wouldn't put it in the bag and then they'd go and
so
weigh
10
it.
Years ago though.
So 10 years ago, we merged into these gravity bins so people couldn't put their hands in it so easy. And, you know, this food safety really got stringent. And so we modernized everything to meet that need, but even it affects how we fill our bins, or, you know, so you wash everything. And then when you're filling, you got to start with things without allergens, like the gummies, and then you progress. And the last thing you can do is a multi-nut product where you got glove changes in between and wipe down counters. And I mean,
that's
there's a
too
lot
much responsibility
to it.
For me, man.
It is, but it's, I mean, I'm a mom too, and I would hate to know that somebody's kid had to go to the hospital because there was an allergen contamination. And FDA is very serious about that, especially once.
Well, they should be.
Yes. And after the whole peanut fiasco, what was that, like 10 years ago now?
Is that a thing?
Well, there was a peanut company who didn't, sanitize, and the peanuts were all bad, and it went into peanut butter, and there was people that were killed from that.
So we're here in the Startup Hustle studio, and this beautiful sign that we have, it's really cool. Check it out. You can see it on Instagram, but that was made by our friends at Will Clare Metal Fabricators in North Kansas City, and they specialize in making containers for food production. And what you were just mentioning, like, I was shocked at the level of detail they have to go through. And Purina was one of their clients.
Sure.
And like, so they make these mega things that they process food in. And like you said, they have to be done. Like they can't have like a hairline fracture anywhere in it. Cause just that hairline fracture in it can get enough like salmonella or any of that to like infect like a whole thing. And like, it's like serious. Cause the thing is based on like what you said, if it contaminates one thing, they have to eliminate everything that, like, they have like this window on either side of discovering it. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. Like, you know, we complain on some levels about, oh, these things are expensive and whatever. Now going back to like that referencing, I really would recommend that anybody listening, check out the History Channel, The Food That Made America. Because they talk about why the FDA was even created. So back in that depression area time, this is like 20s and 30s, most of the meat that you ate was basically rotten. Because they didn't have the refrigerant and different stuff like that. And it just, there was nobody standardizing this and all that stuff. So it was a problem. Yeah. Like, it was a real legit problem. And some of that stuff seems a little heavy handed and cumbersome now, but you know, like, you don't think about, oh man, the dog food, it was made in this like amazingly precise scientific metal thing that can't have a hairline fracture. They have to like go over it with black lights and like crazy stuff.
And businesses spend a lot of money on food safety, and it still happens though. I mean, every day you can look on the FDA website and there's somebody new who has a recall, and you try. And I said, fortunately, especially things like meat or refrigerated items are watched even closer. But there's just things that happen, and you know, because you've got employees and you hope you've trained them well, but you turn your back for a second and something happens and nobody says anything, and there you go.
But these are the things on Startup Hustle, we talk about starting businesses and running businesses. And anytime I consider myself to created some level of expertise in creating projections, plans, and stuff like that, because I've done so many of them at this point. And I always put in a line, and I get people that argue with me about it. And I literally, like, they're on your expenses. It's always a percentage of revenue, and it varies depending on what it is. And I just label it, oh shit.
Yep.
And people are like, well, this seems a little high. Like, why do we need this oh shit line? And I'm like, because that means, that oh shit, I didn't think that we need that or this would change or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if your oh shit line on your plan is your margin, mm-hmm. you don't have a good business model.
That is true. Because right. like the FDA is now, your labels are changing.
Yeah, because you don't know when they're going to change it. Right? Now you have to do it, but things a lot differently. And everything you mentioned just – there's a neon light in my head that says labor. Mm-hmm.
Well, and what about all the trucking industries, like California putting all these stringent laws in? And so everything is trucked. So yeah. those prices have to go up because truckers are required to have all these, the tires have to be mm-hmm. such type, and they have to put these aerodynamic pieces on their trucks. And yep. where do and you think they get that money
from? Because they get 2 miles to the gallon, and trucks drive so much, like that's everything you eat, everything mm-hmm. you touch. Was yes, delivered on a semi truck,
and they're short staffed. So yeah, well, on top of it,
yeah, yeah, and then people won't want to do the job. That's why companies like Tesla and some of these, like when you hear autonomous vehicles, mm-hmm. They will focus on that.
They will
more than and the electrification of it, and then because if you take the drivers, actually the most expensive part out of that, because mm-hmm. those folks make. A lot. And then, like you said, there aren't enough people to do it.
Yes, that is true. And it'll be interesting yeah. to see how the world trusts autonomous trucks. I mean, you got all that weight behind that truck. Mm. So yeah. that's a big insurance policy.
But the reason they're so big now, you could probably scale down the model of that.
Well, and if you're in your East Asian countries, I lived in Japan for 2 years. Those trucks are much smaller than what we have.
They're more like what you would see like a box truck here mm-hmm. and then smaller. So we have almost coming up on 200 employees in the Philippines, which by the way is a very good economic comparison because everything that's on this table here that's $3 or $4 is remarkably less expensive there. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes wonder, I'm like, why? But it's all the things we just talked about.
Right. But in the Philippines, it's cheaper. If you go to Tokyo, it's not cheaper. It's more. So I think it just depends on where you're at in Southeast Asia. But Thailand certainly is less expensive. And I haven't. Korea is not much different than here.
Their labor costs aren't cheaper. They have a different economy there. So anyway, as Breland has just joined us to come take pictures, she's going to want some of the snack mix.
That's why she came in here. Who are you kidding?
Maybe. She doesn't eat meats.
Well, then there
you
go.
So some of this stuff is good. So and on the subject of that, the number of vegetarians and stuff like that has risen too. Has that changed what you're stocking?
Oh, absolutely. As I mentioned before, you know, we've really pushed into healthier lines and offering varieties for people. And when you support hospitals, you know, they really do need the gluten-free and the vegan because they have patients and people and that are require this. It's not just an option. It's a requirement. So to fulfill those needs, we have definitely broadened our horizons. And the other thing is we really believe in promoting local.
Yeah.
So like these nuts that you saw there, the Western's beef jerky, Safely Delicious is another huge one here in town. And that one's a gluten-free, 11 allergen-free, you know, product that's doing really well. So we don't like to, we're not going to be a big Snickers promoter or Hershey's necessarily because there's plenty of large scale operations that would kill us on price, honestly. I mean, it's because it's everywhere. You can buy it on Amazon. You can get it anywhere and everywhere. And so we really
people want local flavor too. I mean, I think that if I'm looking at a couple different things, if I see Lay's potato chips or I see like we're from KC, you know, something, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy that one.
Yeah. Well, and people want different flavors and things. And like you said, these big players had the same flavors. Doritos have been around forever. Yeah. Yes, they're a crowd pleaser. So if you want to spend $2, you're probably going to get a Mountain Dew and a Frito-Lay product. But if you want to venture a little bit or you want to eat a certain way, these options allow you to do that. And yes, it has definitely grown our market. And then being able to private label snacks of different sorts. Also, Kauffman Performing Arts Center, we private label snacks for them for the performances. And we just do different things for different people all over the country.
I think we need some Startup Hustle brand snacks.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah,
when
probably.
You have your invites or your events and different things where you want to showcase.
Have these nuts.
There you
care of Startup Hustle. So there are 11 SKUs in front of me right now. I have a feeling you've got way more than that.
around 200 or so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not unreasonable.
No, it's not. And, you know, some of those I'll say are bulk or packaged, you know, chocolate almonds. Some people need that 10-pound case.
By the way, we're going to give you a quiz. If you have listened to all of the Startup Hustle podcast, then you know what SKU stands for. Do you know what it? By the way, I worked in retail. I literally ran a chain of retail stores for 10 years before I ever actually knew what SKU stand for.
I honestly don't know.
So I'm going to give you 3 seconds to think of it in your head. Stock keeping unit.
There we go. I think that was 10th grade.
Everyone uses class. SKUs. Yeah. A funny story with SKUs. I worked for two companies that merged together and it was music instrument retail. And one of them carried sheet music and the other one didn't. And we realized at one, this is where you talk about efficiency and different things. So we had like 50,000 SKUs when it came to sheet music. And a lot of them, we would have like one in stock. And we literally just sat down, we did the math and we said, you know what, we should just either give this away, sell it by the pound or doing something, because that would be remarkably cheaper and just lose money on it than to actually try to count an inventory and keep this up. Yep. So, and that's exactly what we did.
Yep. Well, and, you have to figure out, you said, what's selling, because you can buy a lot of product.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's going to sell. So we've kind of got this middle of the ground, the SKUs that move quickly and the SKUs that are a little bit slower. And then we try to introduce quarterly some new items that we like to our taste tests, you know, sit around the table and what do you think of this? Because we get a lot of samples in.
Oh, I bet.
Or you go to, you know, the big trade shows, the one in Chicago, and then the new healthy shows out in Baltimore and Anaheim.
Do you do anything else that kind of bulks up the invoice total, where you like create little baskets or bundles?
Yes, we've done kitting projects. We did State Farm. They did have a Founders Day, and we did 25,000 kits. You know, I mean, we do some large portion. We worked with Boeing and some, you know, large companies that need something big done.
And you don't stock any vending machines?
Nope, we don't. We're kind of tinkering future growth, going with the micro market option, which is the modern vending machine where it's more in offices, but people can touch and feel, and then they scan it, swipe their debit card type of thing.
Yeah, those are pretty common in a lot of co-working spaces.
Yeah. And they're very, you know, very handy. And we've got, I think, great product mix for that. What we don't do is the sodas or the waters. So
you would love us as a client in Cebu. We offer free snacks to a couple hundred employees. And by the way, we spend a lot.
Yes, it's a huge trend.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And trying to get the right mix of things is a challenge. And I've even commented, like the very first time after we started doing this, I went there, I was like, I'm going to gain 5 pounds eating anything that's in front of, you know, but then we brought in fresh fruit. That was really expensive, but it was also like, they wouldn't eat it all or this
and
that.
Then it goes bad.
And then no matter what, it's amazing no matter where you are, you can provide, it's amazing how much complaint you'll get about things you provide people for free. And I don't just mean employees. I mean like at events or anything.
Yes.
And you're like, it's free. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, if you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. How about that?
Right. I mean, that is a new trend though, providing free snacks for employees, especially if you're about 150 people or under, because it's a perk that for the owner isn't all that expensive. I mean, it's certainly like a lot cheaper than healthcare.
we've found some ways to streamline it a little better and, you know.
But that's an exciting one because that's certainly a market we dabble in. Is bringing people the snacks as they need it. And it's amazing how companies don't realize, they think they can run to some of these big box stores and go pick it up. But do you know how much time they waste doing that? Where if you keep your people in the office and focused on the tasks at hand and have somebody bring you.
So I can tell you right now, because I've done the math, if you have employees, buy them cater lunches. Because it will pay for itself. Because they don't leave. They go and they grab something to eat. They see it as a benefit. It's fun. It's interesting. And then that 15 minutes to go somewhere and 15 minutes to come back, they usually sit down and do something productive.
Well, and they also get caught up on, let me catch up on my kids or my husband or my spouse, something. And then they take 45 minutes
But it's also team building too, because people have, when you don't do that, they have a tendency to kind of like, go 8 different directions, but they're like, and we do that here and some other places, but it's a good return. And you could give someone like $10 a day and they'd be like, thanks. And you give them a meal and they're like, this is freaking awesome.
Yes.
why didn't you tell me you had free food? I would have worked for less. And like, yeah. But these are the little things that, and you know, even just talk about snacks and different stuff that just like weird little intangibles that can secretly and in a very untrackable kind of way, mm-hmm. Improve your culture.
Yes. Well, it makes people happy. I mean, tell me, you know, you've been to some place and you picked up an old mint and you put that in your mouth and you're like, and you didn't realize that until you tasted it, no. Or you've had some gum in a pocket forever and you're like from last winter and all of a sudden you pull out the coat this year and you're like, oh, and you're like, oh, that's, but to have a fresh snack is so uplifting.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
It does about the same as a smile. Which is kind of why we moved our tag to
maybe they eat the snack and then they smile. Well, and that becomes contagious,
right? So our motto, we've kind of pivoted a little bit, is live, snack, smile, because everyone's, you know, living their life to their fullest, doing what they can. And a smile is always a good thing. And then when you eat that snack, there you go. So
what's the biggest challenge or something that, along the last 18 years, you guys just failed at horribly and then looked back and you're like, wow, we thought that was going to work.
Failed horribly.
Or a challenge, something you're fine. Like, I mean, there's no such thing as a business without problems.
Oh, no.
So it's always interesting to hear what challenges people overcome. And then the stories of failure are sometimes just funny. Mm-hmm. When you look back at them, you're like, wow, I have so many things to look back. I'm like, I thought that was going to work clearly. And wow, what was I thinking?
You know, we thought the snack world was pretty easy one to get into. It was, you know, don't put the chocolate in the heat. We put our product, we're in an underground cave, so it's too deep for bugs and things like that. So we thought, and it's just snacks. How difficult can it be? But in the reality of it, it's not about necessarily the snacks. It's about everything else that comes into play with the snacks. So it's the human resources, the purchasing, the freight companies, all these, you know, the ancillary things that make the company go. So I would say that the thing that I took the longest to realize was, I don't know what I don't know. And I better get some mentors and start, you know, broadening my horizons so I can lead and do things better, smarter, quicker, faster.
What's something that a mentor or one of those people taught you that really stands out? You're like, wow, that's cool.
Well, you know, for example, it's confront. So when there is a problem, don't put it off. Don't think it's going to go away. Confront the issue, because if you don't, it will fester. It doesn't matter if it's employees, if it's a vendor, if it's a customer. If you think there's something that is wrong, your gut instinct is probably right.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be forthright. And confront, and just, and that's what I constantly have to think. I'm like, is this a problem? I need to confront it, because I want to
be the hunter, not the prey.
Yeah. Because as soon as you step back, you know, if you have a bad year and you need some help from the vendors or something, you need some extra support. If, you know, if you go bury your head, they're going to come after you. And if you are forthright with them and say, you know what, this product maybe didn't sell the way we had thought, or what kind of terms can we come to? Why, you know, how can we do this differently? What did we miss? Like,
well, they want to have a good relationship with you too. And they probably, if it's not selling for you, it probably didn't sell for other people too.
True.
So, I mean, at some of the businesses, but when I did work for, quote, the man, there were times where we took stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, hey, look, we, you know, because sometimes we were the ones pushing it.
Yeah.
They, you know, a distributor would buy 90% of their order was stuff they wanted. And I mean, let me tack one of these on for you. And they want to be cool with you too. And the next thing you know, it's still sitting there. And you're like, you know what? Like, or figure something out.
Right. And at the end of the day, they're people too. So just because, like, you know, we think we're snacks on racks and we're not nearly the size of Hershey's. What, you know,
but still, it doesn't matter.
They don't care. Yeah. They will bend over backwards. Yeah. But if you don't ask and you don't confront the issue, and maybe it's not an issue for them, but it is for you, or they don't know what your issues are or what's going to cause harm to the relationship.
Right.
So, you know,
well, really, if it as a manufacturer, we'll just leave it at that. It's in your best interest to not have your distributors and your sales channels dry up and die. I mean, whether you're Hershey or not, like, the thing is it's all sales.
Right.
And if you're a huge pain in the butt or you don't address things, like, nothing's worse than like someone finally letting you know, like, okay, we're completely screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me an idea. Like, maybe there's something I could do to help you out. Like, we've done a couple of those things with our clients at Full Scale. Mm-hmm. Like, look, we're all better in the long term for yep. you, like our employees, you, us, like, let's figure this out and see, you know, how and when and where this works. Like, yeah. we're in the business of trying to help people be more successful at their business. But if you don't realize that problem exists, you can't address it. Can I share something that I think is that a mentor taught me that I
sure
I was, it was actually here on the podcast.
Oh yeah,
I was actually telling my wife yesterday. We were talking about the podcast, and I was like, "Do you understand the value that I have received after several hundred episodes of just having I have a daily, like I'll record two of these today, mm-hmm. and talking to people like you about different stuff. But it's very enlightening. But episode, I think it was 12, Laurel Holt. The founder yep, of Carstar, you know, okay. So if you know Laurel, you know, Laurel's awesome.
Yes, he is.
He's also a bit like Yoda and the Oracle from the Matrix. Like he kind of like, well, you have to kind of figure it out when he says stuff. He's like, in the Matrix, he's like, there is no spoon. So Laurel, it's like, if you ask him, you know, what he is, he'll be like, yeah, I'm a coward. And I'd say, what are you talking about, man? You've done like huge, huge stuff. He's like, no, I'm really in the end, I'm just a coward. And, all right, well, tell me more. I like to find things that no one else is doing and go places to do them where everyone will leave me alone to get really good at it. Now, the to translate that, he's saying, don't take on the giants. In your world, that's Hershey's and Kellogg's and stuff like that. So David and Goliath, like you hear about David beating Goliath, the 999 other times out of 1,000, Goliath stepped on David and didn't even know he was there.
Right.
Nice. And that's why, so like with a, and so the point is like with a startup or a business, because I had a guy come up to me, I gave a speech a couple years ago at Global Entrepreneurship Week, and he wanted to give me a business plan after. And he said, he goes, I have come up with a way to take down Amazon. And I handed it right back to him. I said, dude, I'm not even going to waste my time. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, you don't have a shot. Like, you don't have a shot. Like, literally someone had a sex tape of Jeff Bezos and that didn't even get it done. Right? So I don't think you're whatever your plan is. But the point is like, if you, mm-hmm. you know, and Matt Watson in my book, Million Dollar Bedroom, even talked about this, is that so many people, there's these riches in the niches, and you go down the line of people in a wealthy neighborhood, and like this guy like imported feathers from Botswana, yeah. and like this true? Other guy was like the guy that invented voicemail, or like just something like right. these things that, and none of them are like, hey, I invented a car and I created a company that took down GM.
Right.
Like you look how bold and ballsy Tesla was. Mm-hmm. Like that was, I mean, that is not the cowardly approach. That's the opposite of it. So, but I feel like it's great advice because you can't compete.
Nope.
I mean, and you know, so sometimes you got to just let assume, like Google won. Google kind of wanted about whatever they want to win at. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that can actually offer formidable competition to Microsoft, Amazon, companies like mm-hmm. that. So find something where you can be number one, number two, number three, like now.
Right.
And get really good at it. And then you're that version.
And that's why I can get you a Snickers, but that's not why that's our market. I'm not right. trying to do that. It's because there's wonderful food products out there that people really enjoy. They deserve the right to be seen and tasted and eaten. And whether that's local or, you know, other brands like a Think Jerky or Up and Coming.
Did you know I was about to grab some jerky as you said that?
That was our pitch. Shh. Yeah. Wink, wink. And that's been, like I said, in food service, and just now we're finding more and more in retail, because even your local grocery stores, you know, they're pitched so many products all the time that they can't stock them all, nor do they want to, because it's just overwhelming. They don't have enough diversity. So we're bringing even more to the table and offering it and providing it in places that, I mean, snacks are sold everywhere. When you can be in the office supply store and they're front cash register is full of snacks. I mean, it is everywhere. So our market can be anywhere.
And if your business creates something that requires distribution, like companies like Snacks on Racks, go to snacksonracks.com or the number 4 snacks on Instagram, see more about what they do. But businesses like Jennifer's can change your game too, because you need to be focusing on making what you make. Mm-hmm. If there's a snacks on racks for any industry. I mean, if you sell software, there's marketplaces for that. If you sell products, there is. There's like, you know, we're partners in Mixtape the Game. We license the physical game to a games distributor.
Perfect.
Why? Because they go to like the board game convention and all this different stuff. They were the ones that coined the deal with Target and sold 50,000 decks. I don't know anyone that buys games for Target. And, and to do that, so you look at, you said you had 200 SKUs. You show up with a quiver filled of arrows, and whoever's going to buy from you is like, "Wow, I got access to all this stuff." If you have one product, you're better off working through companies like yours.
Absolutely.
Because you're out there doing the legwork. You're the boots on the ground, you know. And sometimes people are like, "Well, I don't want to give up any of my margin." I'm like, "Well, you're going to give it up anyway because you're going to have to pay someone to go do all that anyway." Mm-hmm. And selling things singularly.
Well, always do what you do best. That's why we outsource HR. So I don't do HR.
So eat more beef jerky.
Yeah, eat more beef jerky. Absolutely. It's good for
you. You should do what you do best.
Low salt. Look at all those perks for eating your beef jerky there today.
This beef jerky will not make it to the end of the day.
Well, in Westerns, that's a locally produced. It's up by Kirksville.
Which is really good.
It is.
I'm eating zesty jalapeno.
Yeah, they do a really nice job. And it's certainly, they're growing in lots of markets, and they do a nice wide variety, healthier choices, you know, no nitrates and things like that.
Yesterday, I got a free 2.5 pound bacon log. Oh. Today, I have 11 different SKUs of snacks.
Well, I know some of your colleagues here were kind of eyeballing it. So
yeah,
let me know if I need to bring more.
It's funny. I did post on Facebook last night that, you know, I had received a free bacon log. I also mentioned that my life was complete. And then I said, and no, you cannot have some of my bacon log. So,
just to be perfectly clear.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome.
Okay. So, well, thanks for coming in, by the way.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We
like to end our episodes by letting founders have a bit of a freestyle. Mm-hmm. It can really be whatever you want, just kind of on it's your outro, your encore per se. But what would you like to say to those listening?
Well, you know, Snacks on Racks has 18-year history. We're very well known in food service and retail areas. And so one is, you know, people who are listening that might want to look for a new distribution or ways to sell their food product, you know, happily look us up at snacksonracks.com. Could be an opportunity. We do offer options to food service companies in other states. So one of the things we developed was a buy local program. So that way, if you worked at IBM or Honeywell or some area hospital, and I'll use the state of Ohio for an example, that our services are to buy local for those locations because they want to support the community too. But the way food service works, it's very hard to just have a single item purchased within them. So to go through a distributor is a great option. So, you know, we're always looking for new food products. And then on the other hand, you know, in Kansas City or actually throughout the country, you know, we're happy. We got a great staff, a good team, and we're good at what we do. And we like helping people. Private label, a lot of places like to take that to their expos or have it in the break rooms or just all the hundreds of things. Everybody's eating snacks all the time. They make people happy. They really do perk up your employees. So the opportunity, you know, to help other people, we really like to do that. And then, you know, we like to work with communities and be involved as well. So, you know, just food is a great option. And we really appreciate, you know, just working with people and helping provide service to people. And so whatever that takes, however that works. And we've got great options for people. So if that made any sense whatsoever.
Sure, it did. It's a freestyle. It's just, you don't have to make sense.
Yeah,
that's why we call it a freestyle.
Thank you. You can
just literally go whatever direction you want. Some people, when I should probably tell people at the beginning that you have to close with that. But
great,
I don't like to, because I think that part of what is interesting on this show is that it's a conversation and not an interview. And I found that you get better responses many times when you don't think it out. Like, no paralysis by analysis for you people today. I think that
we just like serving our customers. So what it's really, it's whatever they need at whatever given time. And we've got the different varieties of products. So it's, we love the introductions to all kinds of organizations, worked with some really interesting opportunities and enjoyed it thoroughly. And so that's what it's been about. And that's why it's lasted for 18 years for me and, you know, enjoyed growing the company. So
as people queue up my own freestyle to end things, I sometimes highlight and accentuate what we've talked about in the episode and sometimes other things. But I think that today I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to go back. And I think there's a couple of key things that came up today that are important. You know, your business started, you mentioned, you know, the business has to be agile. You have to be ready to adapt and pivot and change. I think one of the key things that everyone listening should find notable is the number of times that Jennifer talked about serving clients. Like, we're here for you, and your business exists to serve clients. Like, absolutely. At Full Scale, at our office, we use the term client obsessed, and that is important. Like, be obsessed with your client's success, and they will probably stay your client. Like, it doesn't mean they're always going to be successful, because that's not the way life works.
Right.
But if you feel that the people that you're working with care and they're working towards your best interest and your success, well, that means something and that matters and that's important. So whether you're a vendor of services, products, or anything else, or you are receiving services, you should kind of demand that as a brand standard. I think that that's pretty fair. And if you're, you know, and then another thing too, is I think that talking about being proactive versus reactive, very important lesson. Look, proactive wins. Go out and ask for what you want. Go try to get what you want. And, you know, I was even talking to my daughter about that last night, because my wife said, if you want popcorn, you have 3 minutes. And after 3 minutes, my wife took popcorn away and my daughter cried. She said, I want popcorn. I said, you know what? Too late.
Yep.
You got to be proactive. And I literally sat her down. It's like, look, in life, if you want something and it's right in front of you, here it is.
Yep.
Take it. Don't just wait for it.
Yeah. That's the easy ask. Yeah. It's the one where you've got to find the right people even to get further. But if you're determined, you'd be surprised how many people are so willing if you will just ask. And it's so scary, like, for many people.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
It's
not even an entrepreneurial lesson. It's a life lesson.
Trust me.
Whatever you do, raising kids, all that.
I have spent too much time trying to drive this point home to the world, because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. So anyway, well, thanks for all the snacks. Once again, go to snacksonracks.com. Check us out. You can go to fullscale.io if you want to see how we can be obsessed with your success at Startup Hustle Podcast. And don't forget to check out the Startup Hustle YouTube channel. See y'all next time.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Startup Hustle with Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.